We're going to have Sherry Kaufman come up here. She has a testimony it'll be good for us to hear. So just come on up and share what God's done for you.
Okay.
Be good.
Good morning. About 8 weeks ago, sometime in March, I went to the doctor and had a sonogram done. I have in the past had problems with ovarian cysts. And so I went to the doctor, and the sonogram revealed a cyst on my right ovary, and the doctor said it is not a simple cyst where it's just a nice little bubble and your body will dissolve it and take it away. It's a complex cyst, so it's cysts growing inside of cysts, and it's a bubble, and it's a mountain of cysts, and it's nasty, and it's not going to go away on its own, and those type of cysts turn into cancer. They're not good, so you should have a surgery, and you should have it removed. And this was in March, and so I was in the midst of working 4 part-time jobs and 18 credits in school and all these things, and I said, I thought about it, and I thought, no, I really don't have time nor money for surgeries. So I said to him, I'd like 8 weeks, and I'd like to come back to you in 8 weeks, and if it's still there, we'll talk about it. Well, he said, I don't know what you think 8 weeks is going to do for you. I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. Well, he said, if you think that's going to work for you, then you can have your 8 weeks, and I'll see you in May. So the 8 weeks passed, and I just went back this past week, and I was laying on the table, and the lady who was doing the sonogram was clicking all kinds of buttons, and this thought came into my head, you know, she's taking a lot of pictures. I wonder if that cyst is there. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not even thinking that. So I made sure I had to come up with something and spit it out my mouth, and I said, oh, I said, I hear a lot of clicking. I said, you like that it's not there. I just had to get that out there. And she said, yeah, she said, I just keep taking pictures, she said, because we can't find it anywhere. She said, it's gone. So that's my testimony, right? Yeah, God is good. And he's always faithful to his word, always. Okay, so I don't know how many of you know, but my mom passed away in March, and so I used to call my mom with everything, and so I was like, I was really just so tickled for what God did, and I was like, I don't have anybody to call, so I called Darlene Arendo, and I'm like, I'm so excited, and Darlene, you know what, I'm going to find a pool store here in Reading, because I know there is one. And I want my pool open for my children because I don't want them to have to go to the public school. I don't want them hanging out in town. It's just not a good place. And I said, so I have $300, and I'm just believing that for $300 I'm going to be able to open my pool, and my kids are going to have a clean pool to swim in all summer. Well, she said, that's great. So I'm Googling this Namco, and I can't find it. And I Googled and Googled and finally found it, threw it into the GPS, and it's taking me in all these streets, and I see Namco. I'm like, oh, the light went on, you know. So I go over to Namco, and there are signs, clearance, blowout sale, going out of business sale, the whole nine yards. So I went into the store, and let me also add that we've had our pool for at least 5 years and never covered it. We've never had a cover on it. It blows full of leaves every year, just never had the money for a cover, and it's a disaster to clean. So I went into the store, and there's all these things I need. I had called the regular pool store I go to, and a 25-gallon bucket of chlorine was $95. They're setting for $44, less than half the price. So I started sticking stuff into the cart. Here's a pool opening kit. Here's chlorine. Yes, shock. We use that where I was shocking the pool. Long story short, I ended up walking out of that store with everything to open my pool, everything to maintain my pool, 2 buckets of chlorine for the price of 1 that I would have paid, gallons of shock, a closing kit for my pool, and a cover for my pool for $237. I took money home. So, God, again and again, I picked up the phone and I'm like, Darlene, I am so sorry to call you back, but I just need to tell you what God did in the pool store. And she said, Sherry, I love wonderful news like that. She said, you could call me 10 times a day with stuff like that. So God is good, and he does care for us. He cares for our things. He cares about the desires of our heart. You know, what I desired for my children, he cared as well. And he followed through again.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, that stuff's always good to hear. Glory to God. You know, because sometimes we're going through things, and we wonder sometimes about stuff. And, you know, is one of the things about is the ideas, which really was wisdom, you know. Lots of times, you know, if something comes up, you know, doctors like to do things right away. But you know what? The Bible says with faith and patience you inherit the promise. But don't say it with faith and hurry up and do what the doctor wants. I've got nothing against doctors, you know, but You need to, you know, sometimes people, you just need to stop. You need to make a stop and say, hold, I'm going to talk to God. I need to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. I've done that numbers of times. I just say, well, I need to hear from heaven. I know, you know, they say, well, this is what you got to do, or this, I'm going to hold it. I need to hear God tell me what I have to do. I need to hear from heaven. And glory to God, because you don't want to face anything with fear. You don't want to face anything with fear. It don't work. It don't work. Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to go back over. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit maybe on that area subject again. I did last week. But we're talking about you can be led by the Spirit of God. And I entitled that because really you can be led by the Spirit. And I titled Be Led. In other words, be led by the Spirit of God. Make sure that you do that. Be led by the Spirit. It's important. And we use from Romans, and I want to go back over there again. We're using from the scriptures in Romans, the 8th chapter. And we want to go back and look at these scriptures this morning. Because, you know, we're living in a day and time. There's so many things going on. There's so many demands on people, demands on stuff. There's so much happening. And one of the things is you don't want to get into the areas of fear. I mean, all the stuff that, you know, people hear that's going on, you know, with our government, all the corruption and things and all this stuff happening. But our response cannot be fear. It can't be fear about what's going on. Well, what's going to happen to us or what's going on. Under fear, nobody ever makes good decisions. There's never made any, nobody ever made a good decision. On the basis of fear, it never happened. And I can tell you because I know by experience, I've lived in this earth now, you know, 63 years. I've been around a few years. I know what it is to make wrong decisions and make decisions based on the wrong things. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, that we as believers need to walk in the light of the Word of God, but also, and understand this, the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with the Word. You know, there might be things of the Scriptures that you don't even know about, but if we learn to hear the Spirit of God, He can lead us into things and show us things from the Scripture that you never even knew or never even understood it was even there. You know, being led by the Holy Spirit, when I was just a baby Christian, and in my bedroom was the first time, and really to me it was like hearing an audible voice. It was, I would have thought that, you know, that, you know, if somebody else was around, they would have heard it being said. But you know, I've told this story before, but God can lead you and He'll take you over in line with the Word. The Holy Spirit led me in line with the Word. I got over because there was an individual, a young man had died, who was unsaved. His parents were Christians. And he was unsaved, and I thought, oh my God, your child dies, goes off to, you know, I mean, he was like 19 years old, never had anything to do with Christ, never wanted anything to do with God, and left this earth without Christ, which is not a pretty thing. And I said, God, I was in our bedroom, and I said, God, I don't know if I would want to go to heaven if my wife and kids didn't go to heaven. I don't know if I'd want to go. You know, it's like, dear Lord, your family lost, your kids. And the voice said to me, go read the 128th Psalm. And I didn't know there was 128 Psalms. I had no clue. I didn't know how many chapters were in any book of the Bible, much less, you know. And I over beside the bed, I had laid down my Bible there, and I walked over and I looked and found there was 128 Psalms. And it talks about, it says, the man who fears the Lord, who walks in His way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house, his children as olive plants around his table. And that same voice, after I read that, said this to me, if you'll do what I tell you to do and walk in what I tell you to walk in, he said, I'll guarantee you your family. Well, see, I knew that scripture wasn't for Ed. It was for anybody in that would find it in the scripture. But what did the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit led me in line with the Word. He led me in line with the scriptures. He took me over to the Word and showed me what the Word said. And man, I have stood on that thing over the years. Stuff comes along and happens. And I've stood on that thing. Because, you know, things come along, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I stop and say, hold it. Hold it. He ain't stealing here. It's not going to happen here. And I always ask the Lord, if I've missed it anywhere, you tell me. If I've let open the door anywhere the devil can get in, you show me, I'll close it. But the devil ain't stealing and killing and destroying here. Why? Just standing on the scriptures. And so in Romans 8, we want to We want to look at this. Go back to verse 12. It says, therefore, he says, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Now, he said we're not debtors to live according to the flesh, but we are debtors. And we need to understand this. We are debtors, but not to live according to the flesh. In other words, our flesh. Our flesh has feelings. Our flesh wants to respond to things. I don't know about you. My flesh can be very loud at times. Especially things going on and happening, my flesh, you know. Sometimes, you know what, I'll be just, you know, looking online and I'll, you know, read something. I'll talk about one of the crazy things going on down in Washington, you know. And my flesh is like, you know, they need a mushroom cloud down there. Now, I don't know if you're a flesh here. I know you are all real spiritual. Say, oh, those poor people down there. My flesh says, you know, kill them and ask questions later. That's the flesh. The flesh wants to do the flesh wants to react in that way. But we're not a debtor to follow the flesh. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, we talked about it. He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking to Christians. He said, you can't talk about physical death. If you live according to the flesh, you're going to die physically. Is there anybody here, you're not going to die physically if Jesus doesn't tarry? He's not talking about physically living forever. He can't be talking about that. Because the people who got this letter, they all died. Even Paul, who wrote the letter, died physically. He wasn't talking about it. Christians need to understand, you can go so far living in the flesh, you end up dead spiritually. And you will not get born again. That will not happen. You can get so far away into things, and you know, he's telling them, you keep following the flesh. People keep living in the flesh. It'll take you further, definitely, than you want to go, and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And that's why you want to don't get over in the areas of the flesh. The flesh leads you to unbelief. It leads you away from God. The flesh will lead you to follow the devil is what it will do. And what you believed in, I know people who believed it, just like, you know, I've told you guys, a Rhema student went to Rhema, baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit, got over and got into to Islam stuff and ended up leaving Christianity and now is involved in Islam. Well, I'll tell you what, you won't see him in heaven. He won't go follow that stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, he won't see repentance on that. He ain't going to say, oh, no, God, you know, I went out to worship and rejected Jesus, and I went out to worship, but I'll just, you know, well, Lester, I'll just come back. No, he won't. People need to understand some things. See, we live over in this la-la land in Christianity, and everything can be fixed. I read the Bible, everything don't get fixed. And people need to know this, getting out over in, rejecting Christ, following after another religion. Man, you don't want to go there. It's one thing for a baby Christian to mess up. But you know, you ain't gonna turn around and walk, be filled with the Holy Ghost, walking into things of God, and then go get messed up in that stuff and come back. Hebrews tells you you won't. The book of Hebrews talks about that. And that's why, see, people can get deceived. If you start leading over to the flesh and yielding the flesh, don't think you can't, you know, I'd never get over into that. If you follow the flesh, you can end up any place, in anything. Anything that you say you'd never do, if you follow the flesh, don't be surprised if you do it one day. That's why you keep the flesh on a short leash. You do. You keep the flesh. It's one thing to get over there, you know, and let the flesh get away from you a little bit. But I tell you, you can't continually do it, because after a while, you won't come back. You just keep following. You'll end up getting your flesh. You'll end up with a hard heart. You won't be able to hear what your heart says anymore. After a while, you'll just be following after the flesh and just keep listening to what the flesh says. And you don't want to. You definitely don't want to go there. You don't want to walk in that. Why? He says, because you'll die. If you keep going over there, you're going to run into spiritual death. He said, but if by the Spirit you put to death, but by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, it's through the Spirit. You don't put to death the deeds of the flesh by rules and regulations. Go read Book of Corinthians. Go over and read, Colossians. Colossians, Paul asked him, why do you guys doing all this don't touch, don't taste stuff? Why are you doing it? As if he said that there's going to be help you with the body things. He said it has an appearance of something godly, but it's not. It doesn't change things. It's through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit. When one learns to walk in the Spirit, you can subdue the flesh. You can bring the flesh under control. If the law was able to, in other words, rules and regulations could bring the flesh under, we wouldn't have needed Jesus, would we? The law would have worked. It didn't. Now, the Bible says the law is good because it tells you what's good and what's bad. But because you know what's good and bad doesn't mean you're going to do what's good. Loads of people know what to do, the good to do. Is when I was worked at Reese's Candy Company, and I'd ask the Lord about this, because people would say, I'd hear this all the time out of Christians. Well, the reason they do all this, and these sinners are doing all this ugly stuff, they just don't know any better. And the Lord told me one day, yes, they do. He said, I want you, he said, if they don't know any better, he said, then I can't judge them. See, then they're an innocence. If I didn't know the thing was wrong to do and did it, that, you know, I ain't being bad. I didn't know. He said, I couldn't judge them. He said, they know they're doing wrong. So he told me to do this. He said, you go around when people do stuff, you know, that it's bad stuff they shouldn't be. He said, you ask them if they believe they did right or wrong. Never one time did I ever had a person ever tell me they thought it was right. Every one of them would say, yeah, I did that, but this, that's because this happened, or they did this, or they all knew that what they were doing was wrong. So in other words, knowing right and wrong don't mean you're going to do right. And see, what makes the difference is the Spirit. See, what will change your life is to walk in the Spirit. That's like when the Lord told me when I was just a baby Christian, and told me when I got Kenneth Hagin's series on how to be led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. In other words, I often think about that today. I was a baby Christian and he said that to me. My words, most people today would call themselves grown up. If you'd say that to them, they'd get mad at you. God told me that as a baby Christian. He told me, you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Well, he was right. You can't overcome, you can't have victory without learning to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't. If God can't lead you and guide you, He can't teach you, He can't train you, the devil will eat your lunch. The devil will dominate. And what you'll end up is, even as you're trying to live a good life, you'll live a good life according to the world, but it's not a life of faith. There's no trust in God. It's all based on your good works. And then when you do go to God and you want something, you'll try to get it out of Him because I was good this week. You ought to be nice to me. You know, I've done really well, you know. I've done everything right. Some of the most wonderful blessings I've ever got out of God is after going through a week or two of just messing up a lot. And then just turn around, just getting straight. God, I repent. God, I need help. And tell Him what I need help in, and He helped me. He did it because He's good. He does it because you respond to Him by faith, not on the basis of your performance. I've done so well. I've just done so many good things. You know, so I have a little preacher tell him, well, you ought to take all your giving and write it all down and bring it before God and show Him what you've been doing. I told him, I thought, listening to that, and I thought, somebody smacked that knucklehead on the head. God's not going to respond to you by your goodness. If you gave, you gave it out of love. Quit trying to show it in somebody's face. You know, I can get things from God by faith. Hallelujah. So what if the guy turned around and messed up and didn't give? Well, can he ever get anything from God? Can he repent and get back on the road? He has to have a sheet of paper that has all this long list of the good he did? Dear Lord, there's some time I would have had a short sheet. It would have been a piece of paper with not much on it. But yet, I responded to God by faith, and He responded to me. I learned this. Without God's help, you can't succeed in the Christian walk. If you can make it by performance or by doing whatever is right and good, if that's how you can do it and that stuff, well, wonderful. I can't. I need God's help. And that's the whole thing of it is. God wants us to understand that. That's what this life of being led by the Spirit is you and I relying on God to help us, because you need supernatural help to live the Christian life. You cannot live it naturally. It is not lived naturally. Because if it was lived naturally, then it could be lived by the flesh, and we just found out the flesh don't get it. It leads to death. The flesh leads to spiritual death. And so, I mean, ask Adam. He knows. You'll get to heaven one day and talk to him and say, Adam, how did it work out? He'd say, not good, not good, not good. Didn't work out well. I really messed things up. Hallelujah. But there was a man named Jesus. Hallelujah. He straightened it all out. So, we need to walk in line. In verse 14 of Romans 8, then says to us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, now, in really read in the context. In other words, what he's talking about is these are the sons of God. It doesn't mean if a person was a Christian and they're not being led by the Spirit, they're not a Christian. Yes, they are a Christian, but they're living by the flesh. And that is working towards spiritual death. See, many Christians wonder why so many things happen sometimes in their life or why things are going on. Sometimes things are going on because people are living by the flesh. They have the door open to the devil to do things, to attack them, and to do all kinds of stuff. And they're not following the Spirit, they're following the flesh. And so spiritual death begins to work. That's what Satan does. That's what demons do. That's spiritual death working. And they pray, they come, they steal, kill, and destroy. That's what they do. And that door, we can leave the door open in those things. In other words, the sons of God live by being led by the Spirit of God. That's how we live. It's the life of faith. It's the life of faith. It's a life of trusting in God. It's a life of looking to God, following, led by the Spirit rather than led by the flesh. We're following, and it's a life of faith. You can't separate the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. The Bible says so. The Holy Spirit takes the Word and reveals it to you. See, the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with faith. Always. If the Holy Spirit's teaching you, the Holy Spirit is not going to come along to you and say, well, you know, good scumbag, forget it, you're done. He's not going to do that. If you've messed up, he'll lead you in the line with the Word to repentance, to turn, to go back. He'll lead you in line with what the Scripture says to get you back on your feet again and back in line with faith. He always does that. I have never had the Holy Spirit ever lead me in any other way. He always leads you back to the place of faith. Why? Because without faith, you can't please God. And the Holy Spirit is always going to lead you to the place to please God. Would the Holy Spirit be doing things to people so they wouldn't please God? Would he be doing that? Well, no. The Holy Spirit would never do such a thing as lead you into a direction where your life ain't pleasing God. He's always going to lead you. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're always going to be led into the direction of faith. Well, see, when I found that out, when I started learning to listening on these things about being led by the Spirit, I found out, man, I started getting revelation by the Word of God. When I started really checking out I want to know what the Holy Ghost is saying and doing. And I found this. I found this, that, you know, where the Holy Spirit would have certain things that He would emphasize with me to teach me. He might not be teaching everybody else, but there's certain things I needed to know about what I'm dealing with. Maybe somebody else don't know. See, that's why if you're just looking to your favorite preacher or teacher to always hit what you need, then you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. You don't need Him. All you know, that doesn't mean. Now, they can be anointed, and I can be anointed the Holy Spirit to teach things. But there's things that you need to know specifically, and I don't have to stand and preach it all the time, and somebody else don't. The Holy Ghost wants to take you and show you different things. I always found out that the Holy Spirit would be emphasizing certain things to me. And I would go over in the Scriptures and study those things. But see, that's what I needed for my development at the time and for the things I was in. You know, another person may not have needed that. They might have needed something else. You know, so that's why you can't always rely to sit down and just hear a sermon. I found out many times that once I'd get over looking into those areas I was supposed to, then all of a sudden God brings somebody across my path that was preaching or teaching on that. But you know what? None of that happened until I started walking in the light of listening to the Holy Ghost. See, most people are always waiting for somebody else. Somebody else get brilliant. Somebody else follow God. Somebody else do something. And then come and give it to me. And that's caused laziness going to seed. And we have to watch it because people get lazy. Expecting, you know, our society is full of lazy. And it's gotten in everywhere where people, you know, they're always waiting for somebody else to do their stuff for them. And you know, I find Christians are waiting for some, you know, give me 47 preachers on TV and we'll just listen to all of them. We're bound to come up with something, you know. And that's laziness. No, it's sit down and hear from God for yourself. Sit down and say, God, I need to know some things. Where am I at? Where am I hooked to? What do I need to hear? What do I need to know? And because there's things that I'm dealing with that I need to know about, that I need to understand. One of the things is just like when I first got started off as a Christian, one of the things God really dealt with me on was about my relationship with Wanda and that stuff, because, you know, it was really messed up. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, the number one thing, you know, there's a lot of things in areas that we had problems and stuff. But is number one, God number one, wanted to fix the relationship. You know, money isn't the answer to the relationship problem. It ain't. You know, if I can't walk in love toward my wife, all the money in the world ain't going to change that. It might just compound it, because after you get the money, then they'll divorce you to get half the money, you know. That's right. Well, why not? Why stay with the idiot? Take the money and run. Well, see, a lot of people, see, they look at all these other things, but God had an agenda to me, and He kept dealing with me at that, on changing, me changing, and really, He didn't deal with me at Wanda changing, He kept dealing with me changing. You gotta change. Because He asked me this one time, He said, well, if Wanda wouldn't change, what are you gonna do? You're gonna still have to live with you. And all the problems you got, or you're just going to carry on. And if you go to another relationship, you'll just drag all that junk right along with that one. And that's what people do all the time. You know, I'm going to find another partner. I don't like this one. And they go to the next one with the same junk. And that partner don't like it any better than they did. So the other one. And it's just, you just carry junk from one place to the next. Well, God wanted to fix me. You know, somebody else may not have near, you know, others may not have had near those kind of problems. But see, God had to work on me on those. God taught me a lot of stuff about that. I don't ever hear people preach or ever deal with it. They call about doing marriage seminars and they do, you know, all kind of things and relationship seminars and all that stuff. And most of it they deal with is all psychological stuff. God dealt with me just down dirty. He just did say, the Bible says you're supposed to act this way. Let's get with the program there, bud. This is what your problem is. Say, yeah, but Wanda's doing this. He said, I don't care what she's doing, what you're doing over here. You're doing this. But I said, mine don't look near as bad. He said, I don't care. I want you to look over here at this. I'd say, come on, let me talk about her. And he wouldn't put up with it at all. That doesn't mean she's perfect, not doing anything. God's why? Because, you see, God has to work with her. That's not my job. See, what we usually have is always trying to fix it. It's sort of like with my parents. They were always trying to fix each other, and neither of them got fixed. Yeah, they never got, because the other one was always saying, well, you did this. See, God didn't allow me. God would always show me where I was messing up. And, when I first started off with that, I used to get angry a lot. Because, see, I didn't think my thing I was doing is bad, but he wouldn't, you know. But see, by being led by the Holy Spirit, God kept leading me over into those areas. Because really, if our relationship, if our family relationship didn't straighten out, what is it good to have all this other stuff and things going on? There's nothing to it. See, that's why people, you know, they think they're going to do, you know, trying to do all kinds of stuff. And that's where I think a lot of the Christian stuff, you know, we're on the areas of a lot of people, you know, is one of the worst things that can happen to messed up people is you get them money. That's where a lot of the financial stuff and the teaching, trying to get people, you know, these ministries are always trying to work toward getting people money. Most people don't need money. They need to get a life. Dear God, their life stinks. They need a life. And that's my life stank. My life was a stench, I'm going to tell you. And it was me. The way I lived, the way I thought, and God had to correct that. Because I couldn't go on. I was never going to be happy. Money wasn't going to make me happy. I was going to have no peace with money. I was still going to be the idiot. And so the Holy Spirit led me in line with the things that I needed to learn. And that's where everybody's an individual. See, you have to have an individual. When people talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, most people don't even have a clue what that even means. And most of the ministers that say it, it ain't nothing but a religious cliche. They don't know nothing about it either. You know? I heard this one minister saying it all the time, and then he turned around and found out his wife wants to leave him. Well, he sure don't know nothing about personal relationship with Jesus, or his wife wouldn't want to be getting out of town. You know, oh, big church, big ministry. Well, I know these guys don't know. They don't know about this stuff because they're over here emphasizing all these other things. But we need to be led by the Spirit. Our lives are changed by God being able to work with me and work in me to deal with me. I want to be a son of God. I want God to be able to lead me. Listen in verse 15 of Romans 8. It says, "For you did not receive what the spirit of bondage again to fear." We talked about that. "But you did," he said, "but you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father." That could just be Daddy, Daddy. In other words, we did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is always bondage. Always, always. Understand this. The Holy Spirit will never lead you by fear. Never. Never. If fear keeps trying to lead you into a direction, I want you to know what spirit that is. It's called the devil. It's called, you know, evil spirits, demons. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of bondage to lead you to make decisions on the basis of fear. When fear is trying to drive you, you can know that that is not God. The Holy Ghost never, ever tries to move you by using fear. Never. Y'all learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would say this when I was a young Christian. I had to learn it, but I remember him saying it so many times. He'd say, "The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He'll never make you do anything you don't want to do. If you don't want to do it, you don't have it. He's going to push you or force you. He's going to make..." People say, "Oh, God made me." God didn't make you. You either decided to cooperate. If God made people to do stuff, then I want Him to start to get on the ball, because there's a lot of people He ought to be making do something. Even the people that say it, I wish He'd get on them to get them to do something. He doesn't. He's a gentleman. We either cooperate with it. He does not force. He does not use bondage to get you to follow God. He never uses bondage. Never. He will never use bondage. God is your Father. The Holy Ghost will treat you as a child of God. He'll treat you with respect. It'd be a good thing we treated Him in the same manner. But He will treat you as being a child of God. He don't treat you like a sinner. Most Christians know God no better than a sinner knows God, because they see themselves as sinners. They don't see themselves as who and what they really are. They believe God just deals with them, you know, just like everybody else. "Well, yes, I'm still just an old sinner, just saved by grace." No, not I'm a child of God. The Holy Spirit guides me and leads me into the truth. It says He guides and leads. Does it say He forces and pushes? He guides and leads. That's what He does. Don't even talk about Him being behind you, shoving you. Whatever's trying to shove you, you'll find this. Many times people are making decisions and doing things. People do that. "Well, I just, you know, I felt, you know, forced to do this or do that." Don't do that. Don't follow that. I remember when I, you know, just as young Christians starting off, some things happened. And, you know, there was just, I'll tell you what, it really was this spirit, and I found, you know, figured it out after, you know, the Lord got a hold of me in some things, was really trying to force me to make some decisions into some things. Because, you know, as a young Christian and people are upset, they're trying to, they want you to do what they want you to do and things. And, this thing kept going on, and the one day, all of a sudden, it just came to me what Kenneth Hagin had said. And Kenneth Hagin talked about the Holy Ghost will never force you and push you into things. He's a gentleman. And God brought that to my remembrance. And I thought, "Dear Lord, I'm being forced and pushed. This thing's trying to drive me to make decisions." And I just stopped and I said, "I ain't moving no further." And that's why I thought, "God, if you're going to treat me this way, I don't want to follow you anyhow. If you treat me like this, I wouldn't want to follow you." And I said, "I ain't making a move on this thing." And you know what? When I finally put my foot down and decided I was going to move, all that fear and junk stopped. All that driving stopped. And you need to know that. You know, as you'll get over into areas and that stuff, fear, and especially today, we live in a nation, and this Antichrist spirit that's running is the most powerful spirit of fear that has ever come on our nation. And most of what is going on, most of the decisions made out of Washington over the last couple years have been all out of fear. And I'm going to tell you, both parties, now I ain't saying, you know, even Christians, they're making responses by fear. And when you get people who won't go along with it, man, they're trying to nail them to the wall. I mean, people in both parties, if you go out here and you don't play the game, man, they're trying to nail you to the wall out here, making decisions out of fear. We got to get ourselves over that we respond to God by faith. God desires you to trust Him, not move because He's beating you with a whip. That's not what He's looking for. God has children. He wants to develop us. God is interested in partners in ministry, working together with Him. That's what He wants. God wants to entrust you with things. He wants you to develop, to give you things. He wants to be able to delegate His power and His glory to operate through you. That's what He wants. He wants you a trusted worker, not somebody that has to sit around and you have to go to daddy all the time and get permission to do everything. He wants you to grow up where you know how to handle the business. I found that out a long time ago when God started asking me what I wanted to do about things. Started asking me, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do about this situation. I had a number of times He did that to me. And I started to find out that, you know, God, there's certain things that I know that I can use my authority for. That's why you look over even some of the prophets in the Old Testament. You know, we looked at Elisha. Elisha didn't pray and ask God about giving that woman a child. He just said, man, this lady's being nice to me. Tell her to come down here. I'll give her what does she need. I'll do it for her. He didn't pray and ask God about it. Well, that held up a lot of people. They, you know, hear that kind of stuff. Well, who do you think you're, God? No, but I'm one of His best kids. And if you don't think that way, you don't get it. See, the church has lived down under this low thing, thinking, you know, we don't do nothing without the permission of God. The whole thing is learning to be led by the Spirit. You'll learn how God thinks and how God walks. And after a while, God will look to you for opinion of what you want. Why? The decisions of your life are about you. You know, God don't have robots out here. You know, everybody, y'all got to have green cars, or you know, y'all got to have, you know, we ain't in one of those churches. You know, everybody has to have, you know, a certain type of thing. We all got. Well, if you want that kind of stuff, go ahead. I ain't going there. You know, and you know, we see craziness in this nation and all these things going on. People try to go back into that legalism to try. Well, let's all get over here and we'll all just be the same. That ain't being the same. Hallelujah. We're individuals. God's given us all gifts, and when it comes to these gifts and working and operating, we need to learn to flow in these places with God. If we learn to be led by the Spirit, you will be amazed at what God will do through you. God hasn't led you again to bondage, to fear. But you've received the adoption. And you know, and let me just say this in adoption. The word adoption here in the Greek does not mean, in their, these writings concerning and under the Greek language, the idea of adoption is not what we do in like we adopt a child. It's not what it's talked about. Adoption was a thing that they did to their own children. This adoption was not somebody else's family and you took them in. God didn't take you. God caused you to be born again. You're literally a child of God. You're not an adopted kid. If I go out here today, like my daughter and her husband are adopting a child from the Philippines, that child can never be their flesh and blood child. That can never happen. It can't be. I don't care how much you love it, and you can love it as much as any other child you have or anything else, but it can never be genetically your child. I want you to understand, Ed Gibson is genetically God's child. Amen. I've been born of God, and you have been too. So when we talk adoption, we're not talking in the Bible adoption like we do in the natural. This adoption that he's talking about here, this adoption's this. After a child reached a certain age, that child joined the family business or became one of the heirs, an actual heir. You didn't become an heir till you came to a place of responsibility. In other words, the Bible tells us this, the New Testament. Even when a child is little, he's an heir, but there's somebody with responsibility over that one, because see, they can't handle the stuff. You come to the age or time when you can handle the stuff. This is what he's talking about. This adoption here. Adoption to us comes to a place that we can handle the stuff. If you learn to be led by the Spirit, you get adopted into the family business. This is what he's talking about. In other words, you come to the place in the kingdom where now you're responsible. You're a worker together with him. It's not that I'm trying to get into the family. You're into the family, born in the family. You know, if you take like my grandson, Braden. Now, Braden's a little boy. Now, he's an heir of his parents. But they ain't going to turn the keys to the car over to him lately or give him a key to the house. So there's a lot of things you don't want him to be messing with, for sure. And that's what this is about. In fact, they used to have that in ceremonies in their families and that stuff. It was sort of like, you know, different groups have different things, you know, when a child reaches a certain age. Well, they would have this time when this one came and he could enter really in as a responsibility in the family as being really an heir, where they could make decisions in the family. They actually didn't have ceremonies that they would do that. And so when we look at adoption, see, many Christians look at, well, you know, we're adopted in the family. I'm sorry, I was born in the family, God. I am a child of God. My spiritual DNA is identical to my daddy, and that's why I call Abba, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, because he is my daddy. When I go to heaven, there isn't some Jews a lot closer to the throne, and Ed gets to stand in the back somewhere, and he's the adopted kid. And he's... See, Christians are all messed up. They're all messed up in their thinking. All messed up. Everybody, every Jew must get born again to get into heaven. Nobody is God's kid who hasn't been born of God. So you become born of God. You're God's kids. But now you come to the place where you enter the adoption. He said, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He said, the Spirit Himself, what, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. You know you're a child of God. Because your spirit, you're in contact with your spirit. The Holy Spirit's telling you that. See, if you don't know the move of the Spirit, you don't know that if you're a child of God. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, you don't know you're a child of God. I don't know. Well, it says it in the book. I want better than says it in a book. I want to know it on the inside. I found that makes the total difference. You know, it's one thing is, like people, I've had people ask me when I first started off in a Christian, they ask me, people say to me, boy, you just take off and you just really went after things. Well, see, I learned to be led by the Spirit. I listened to God. God hooked me up with the right things. Number one, God wouldn't let me just go to any church. I listened to my Spirit. See, if people learn to be led by the Spirit, you wouldn't have got messed up in half the stuff you got messed up in. You wouldn't have gone and listened to a lot of preaching that you listened to that you wish you'd have never listened to. God wouldn't allow me to. God wouldn't let me in the inside. I'd go to a church and the Lord say, don't, and I just look in my spirit inside me said, don't go there. Don't go there. One Sunday, Ron and I tried to take my family to a church. Everybody was calling it such a good church, such a great church, a really good church. Go there. So, I loaded my wife and kids up in the car. We drove up and drove to the church, drove into the parking lot in the Spirit of the Lord. The whole time I knew I was disobeying. The Spirit of the Lord told me this. He said, you go to that church, it's going to cost you dearly. Well, I know what he's talking about. It wasn't he was going to do anything about it if I'd have listened to the doctrine in that church. You know, all these Spirit-filled people were saying that's good. When I found out what's going on, I'm going to tell you, that church had one of the most devilish pastors. That guy was messed up and more junk in a little bit. All kind of crazy stuff going on. But you know, people, oh, we go there, they have such wonderful worship services. Well, you can have what you call wonderful, but there was a lot of devils in that place. And I found it out after the years. I was a young Christian. After the years, when I'd get around people who went to that church, I would find out, yeah, man, there were people I learned you didn't want to be around them. You see, you got to learn to be led by the Spirit. You got to learn to be led by the Spirit. And that's why you do, because you'll make wrong decisions, get hooked up with the wrong stuff. And, it's just like, Alyssa and Ward make decisions about what Braden eats because, you know, a young boy, Braden, you know, you put anything on a plate, half of it he won't eat, but you throw it on the floor, he'd pick it up and eat it. That's an amazing thing. But, you know, he wouldn't know what was good for him or what wasn't. We got the Holy Ghost in us as a guide. When I started off, He was as good a guide when I was a baby Christian as He is today. He could lead me then. And He can lead you. And He taught me, like Brother Hagin used to say, be as smart as an old cow, eat the hay and leave the sticks. And I found out that the Holy Ghost would teach me to do that, eat the hay and leave the sticks. You know? While everybody else was sitting around eating the sticks. But if you listen on the inside, you listen to the Holy Ghost, He would direct you on what to do. You don't have to become some big spiritual giant. You're born again. The Holy Spirit is in you. Start recognizing that fact. You know? So many people go, oh man, it's just hard to be led by the Spirit. Why would it be hard to be? God can't lead you. See, your voice is your problem. You're saying the wrong things. You're talking the wrong stuff. It's easy to be led by the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost could lead me as a baby Christian, dear God, He could lead anybody. Dear Lord. But, you know, I just got to believe it. I could be led by the Spirit. Why would God tell me to be led by the Spirit and you can't be led by the Spirit? If the Holy Ghost could get a hold of me, I'll guarantee you He can get a hold of you. I mean, dear Lord. But that, I found out success, though, in the drive. When you learn and learn to be led by the Spirit, it took the fear out of life. It took the fear out of things. You're no longer afraid. People become afraid they're going to make the wrong decisions. This is what fear will do. Your fear of making the wrong decision, you will make no decisions and you'll do nothing. That's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants to make you afraid of making a mistake. I'll tell you what, God has cleaned up many of my mistakes, and people don't understand. In my doing the best I understood to follow God, God would do more for me than the people who were so careful. Always worried about, well, I don't know, and blah, blah, blah. They're always, well, you know, I don't know if I ought to do this. And they were just always, lived in fear, always making, and you know, God would do all kinds of things for me because I would attempt to follow God. I'd attempt to do something. You know, it's like they say, it's a lot easier to steer a moving car than it is one sitting. Well, the Holy Ghost can't lead you when you ain't doing nothing. There's nothing to lead you to. You know, what most people want is the Holy Ghost, go do the thing. And then, go, when you get it done, I'll go there then, okay? When I see it's all okay and it's all done and I'll get there. And that's not how it works. The Holy Spirit leads us. I had a great desire to be led of the Spirit of God. I wanted to be led of the Spirit of God. And I knew I was going to have to move in line with the Holy Spirit. I learned this. Kenneth Hagin says, when the Holy Spirit teaches you something and gives you a revelation from the Scriptures, start applying it to your life. This is people sit today and tell you all kind of revelations. People sit and tell you all kind of scriptures and quote them, but they ain't doing none of them. They somehow think that the fact that I have or I know something, that that's valuable. Information is of no value, not applied. It's of no value. It's worthless. In fact, it's more dangerous for the guy who knows and don't do than the guy who don't know. So when He does reveal something to you, sometimes the Holy Spirit would reveal things to me. And you know, maybe for most people it seemed insignificant. It didn't seem like much, but I was just so, I don't care how insignificant a revelation would come to me from God. To me, I make a big deal out of it to this day. Just the fact that God would talk to me is a pretty big deal. I'm just pretty impressed that He would still want to hang around me. You know, you think God would have somebody else He'd like to more talk to than He would me, but I think it's a huge thing. God reveals stuff to me, still amazes me how I go along minding my own business and even times don't even ask Him about a certain thing and all of a sudden He'll just start giving me a bunch of revelation on it. I think, dear Lord, He'll just come and talk to me and dump it on me. But there's one thing He does know. What I learn, I'm going to start to apply it. I'm going to start to put it together. I'm going to start to do it. This is one thing. Many times people don't get revelation because they have revelation they do nothing with. If the Holy Spirit can't lead you to do the Word, there's no point to Him. There's no point going to second grade when you will not do the first grade work. Understand that. You will stay on the same spiritual level till you complete what you need to complete on that level. If you don't, God won't take you to another level. God leads us from glory to glory, but many people never go from one glory to another glory because they never complete on the level they're on. They never complete what God has shown them. So He doesn't take them to the next level. You need to understand that. That's good preaching there, folks. If you understand that. You know, I've always found it, if you want to go further, see, people are talking today, God's going to pour out all this revelation and all these things people are going to know. He'll pour out revelation, but loads of people ain't going to know it. Because if you don't, it doesn't matter what He pours out, you can't get it in your level, you can't understand, you won't walk in it, you ain't going to the next level. It's not going to happen. God's not going to change how He runs the kingdom just because we get to the end times and He wants to bring people in. He'll find people who will walk in the level they're in and take them to the next level. He'll always find somebody. God will step over people who refuse to go to another level and go to somebody else. He'll go to somebody else. But He's going to do that. God don't send people to fourth grade that didn't do good in third grade. He ain't going to send them to fourth. He's not like this. You know, the church world today, oh, everybody's the same and we just do it. I'm sorry, God's not. We're led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is the most wonderful teacher there has ever been. There has never been a greater teacher. There's none with more wisdom. He's God, dear Lord. And if He understands and knows things, if the Holy Spirit tells you something, then that's the way it is. I don't care what your favorite preacher said. Brother Hagin made this statement one time. He said, I don't care what Strong's Concordance says. He said, if the Lord tells me that a certain scripture, He was talking about a certain thing, He said, then that's the way it is. Is what He meant. I've always found this. I've found sometimes that people were teaching a certain way. Holy Spirit give me a revelation. All of a sudden, He started taking me to other scripture. And I'd say, you know, that scripture never even fit with that other stuff that they always used it for. It never even fit there. It wasn't even for that. But people were always using it there. But why? The wisdom of the Holy Ghost. He knows where everything fits. So in other words, you're not going to go on to revelation with God without Him. He bears witness in our spirit that we're children of God. He said, children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's what we are. Now understand this. The Holy Spirit is going to deal with you as being an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. He's trained you for royalty. He's trained you to sit in the seat of all authority in heaven and earth. That's what He trains us for. He trains us. That's why Jesus Christ said to Peter, he told him, he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of whatever you bind on earth. He didn't say, whatever I tell you to bind. In other words, I'm going to sit you in a place of authority that whatever you bind, heaven gets behind. Whatever, while you're here walking on this earth, whatever you're binding. See, this is our joint heirship. We're heirs of God. The Holy Spirit leads you and me in the area to teach us to be leaders. Everybody in the church is a leader. If you're waiting never to be a leader, you're going to go nowhere. You're going nowhere spiritually. You're a leader. The Holy Ghost is always going to lead you to sit on a throne, to take authority, not trying to find somebody else. We may start off, I started off as a Christian, I'd have to get other people to help with my authority thing because I didn't. But I grew up one day and I learned about my authority. I learned to walk in it. I learned to do it. You know, I've worked on jobs ready and worked on things where I was sort of like an apprentice. But I came to the day I was proficient on the job. Then I did work with some people and they worked there 30 years and were still apprentices. They never would take their authority. They would never walk in the place. Look, you, God, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you because you're an heir of God and you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ and you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're designed to be a person of authority, to be a leader. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will lead you and teach you to be the leader. Hallelujah. That's what He does. He'll duplicate Himself. You don't become the God part, but you can become a great leader and learn how to lead and how to lead others around you instead of waiting to find somebody else. Let's go call the prayer chain such and such a city and have them pray for us. Say, hey, hold it. Whatever we bound on earth is going to be bound in heaven. I don't have to call them, dear God. Sure, that was good to call them when I didn't understand that stuff, but I don't have to do that anymore. Hallelujah. I can stop the devil in his tracks now. I can do that. See, the trouble with the church today, the playpen is filled. And it's filled with believers. 40, 50 years of Christianity and they're all still in the playpen. And everybody that walks out around the playpen, they criticize. Looking at who they think they are. Boy, they think there are somebody out there. Well, they ought to be in here with us whining just like, oh my, did you hear them? They think God listens to them. They think God, did you hear God talks to him? Did you hear that? Well, God don't talk to him. You know how great conversations do you have with little babies in playpens? You know, you go over there, goo, 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 doll, you dummy. Whack! You know? My words, because why? They'll sit there and don't pay attention to you half the time. You're looking at them, 1 minute they're looking at you, the next minute you can't get their attention, you talk to them and they won't even look at you. That's most Christians. That's the way they are with God. You know, they're over crying, they need God's help, and then 10 seconds later, God can't even get a hold of them for nothing, they're looking at everything else. They're all sitting in this playpen, and they're knocking anybody out there who's trying to walk like God. And then those same people in the playpen say this, we need to be more like Jesus. Oh, they're getting their pulpits and stand up. We need to walk like Jesus walked. And you let somebody do it, and that bugger will get a bag of rocks and stone the guy as soon as he can. Oh yeah! You start walking like Jesus, he'll kill you. They got plenty of crosses. Don't worry, they haven't got rid of them. They still got them. That's why they've been buying them. They put them in their churches. That's so they crucify you on it when you walk like Jesus. That's what that's for. You thought they were being religious, didn't you? Yeah, you thought they put them on the steeple. They were going to put you up there. You get acting like Jesus, they'll hate your guts. Why they do it? They're children. They're babies. They don't understand. They're not led of the Spirit of God. The Spirit will lead you to the place that you'll start to live like you're sitting on a throne. It'll get you to live like you're calling shots and not just out there in the playpen and somebody else is changing your diaper over there and you're calling somebody to change your diaper all the time and somebody else change your messes. You see, the church world has used a lot of this stuff to get people under their thumb. Yes. You know, people are to grow up. We're to grow up. Because there are people that are truly babies Christians and they need help. And see, we're supposed to grow up to, you know, in a sense, we parent them. In a sense, we help them along and we help them, you know, getting up. It's not everybody staying in the playpen. We get the place where we can walk in authority. The place that God will use us. See, we want to walk in that light. That's the place you and I want to live. You want to come to this place. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost bears witness that you're a child of God. And if you're a child, then you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is revealing that. See, you go to most of the church world today. You talk about being an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Most don't even know what you're even talking about. Oh, they've heard maybe the scripture and the page, but they know nothing of the reality of it. Only the Holy Spirit can take you to learn this. Men can't teach you this. God can anoint me to say things to you, but you need the Holy Ghost inside of you, instructing you and helping you to understand them. Understand it. It isn't about somebody just speaking a revelation over you. The Holy Ghost takes the things that are said and He reveals them to you. He speaks them to you. He's your teacher. You need Him. See, I never consider learning without the Holy Ghost. I don't believe there's any way to learn anything in that Bible without the Holy Ghost. I don't believe you're going to learn a thing. You know, if the Holy Spirit isn't revealing Christ, nobody sees Him. That's what the Holy Ghost, He reveals Jesus Christ. No man ever got saved because all of a sudden we just got smart and figured out we needed Jesus. Nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw him. The Bible says so. Nobody. I didn't get saved because I was searching for God. God was searching for Ed. God the Holy Ghost came and got a hold of Ed. God the Holy Ghost would show up. Every night I would go to work. Second shift, I could just, about 9 o'clock, I would go for a break. And I would go out in the lunchroom and sit down. And a voice would say to me, what's going to happen to your family if you keep going the direction you're going in? It's the Holy Ghost. I thought, well, okay, I won't go to the lunchroom. I'll go down to the locker room at lunchtime instead of break time instead of going in. Because that's a bad place to... That cafeteria has voices and I, that I don't want to hear. So I went down and... Darn it. down there in the locker room. He was down there. And he said, what's going to happen to your family? You keep going the direction you're in. What's going to happen to your family? He wasn't saying be me. He was just telling me the truth about that. And I knew he was speaking the truth. I was heading in a direction. The Holy Ghost. What was he doing? He's drawing me to Christ is what he was doing. He was drawing me to Christ. He's making me examine my life, saying, hey man, Ed, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. You need to change the direction. He wasn't there, you scumbag, you did so many ugly things, you don't even deserve salvation. You don't deserve nothing, buddy. He never said none of that stuff. I was a scumbag. He'd talk to me like that, and I'd leave work and go act like a scumbag again. And come back the next day, and he'd talk nice to me. It's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. It's the kindness of God. And that's what he was doing. The Holy Spirit was leading. And he kept talking to me till I stopped and I started looking. I started looking at things. I was a sinner. I got home, went home, and Wanda would be in bed at night. I was working second shift, and she'd go to bed. I'd stay up, and I started getting the Bible out and reading it. That was a crazy thing, I'll tell you what. But I started getting out my Bible, and I'd sit down and I'd read my Bible. To this day, I can't even tell you much that I read in the Bible. But you know what? The whole thing was, the Holy Ghost kept still leading me. He kept pulling me in a direction toward Christ. Till eventually, one night, I came home from work, and Wanda had went to bed, and it was after midnight. And I knelt down on the sofa beside, right there in our living room, and I knelt down and accepted Jesus Christ. And that was the night I told him, I said, Lord, I said, I lived a life. I said, I followed the devil. And I told him, I just said to him, and I said, I was good at it. I said, I did everything he wanted me to do. Anything he prompted me to do, I did it. And I did it gleefully. And I started, and I just said, Lord Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. And he told me, you go back to work, you tell the people what you did. Boy, I tell you, that caused a ruckus. But you know what? I told him I'd do whatever he wanted me to do. I said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. He said, you go back. He said, you tell him. I started telling people I accepted Jesus. That's quite a thing, because I tell you, I was the Christian hater. And all of a sudden, I became one of them. I was sort of like the Apostle Paul, when some of the Christians were a little gun-shy to be around me. They sort of stayed away from me to find out if this thing really was working. They were a little gun-shy. But you know, but this is one thing the Lord told me. I was a baby Christian. When I got born again, I bet I wasn't born again in 3 weeks. And the Lord spoke to me, because you know, these people, you know, talk about, oh, closet this and closet Christians. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. You don't confess me before men, I don't confess you before the Father. He said, there's no such thing as a closet Christian. See, God has a different opinion than the church does. Church has a lot of different opinions on stuff. God doesn't. He said, you don't confess me before men, you know. And that's why he had me do it. He told me, I accepted Christ. That's one of the good things about when we call people to have altar calls. People make a public confession. They need to do that. Because if they don't do it there, they need to do it sometime right after that. They need to go make a public confession of what they did. Because if you don't, the devil will keep your mouth shut. And after a while, you won't follow God at all. You'll be back living in the old same sin and old same garbage all over again, back doing the same stuff. I don't know about you, I ain't going back there. Hallelujah. I'd have sure liked to have got out of those scriptures today, but we didn't. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost talking is one of the things that's really, and I want to just emphasize again, is you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what you are. And the Holy Ghost will treat you in such a manner because he's training you to be like Jesus. He's training you to be enthroned. He's training you to walk in authority. He's training you in that area. That's what he's doing. You ain't got no little job. There's no little jobs in the church. Any Christian can walk in, have through them the manifestations of any gifts of the Holy Ghost. The demonstrations and manifestations of the power of God. Any of them. Christians can walk and live in. See, God has given the church so much. I mean, just think about, you know, Jesus told the disciples. He said, if you say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. God is training Christians to begin to do that. See, we need to be trained. I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching, and then I would let God teach me on things, and the Lord spoke to me about stuff. One of the things the Lord spoke to me about years ago and said to me, you'll notice in the scriptures, he said, any of the things that have to do with animate objects, he said, Jesus never prayed about. He told them to do what he wanted to do. He said he spoke to the trees. He spoke to storms. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to the things around him. And he told me, he said, you copy and do what he does. He said, you don't pray about those things. He said, you don't ask me to do something about the storm. You speak to the storm. You talk to the things. You say what you want it done. He told me to start to do that. See, he started training. Why? He's training me, was training me as a leader to lead. Just take up and you start to act out into things and to do stuff. Don't pray and ask me to do nothing about the storm. You talk to it. You talk to it. See, most of the people today, what they do is they look at the weather channel and listen to the weather channel, and then when they hear what the weather channel says, the storm's coming, what they do is start confessing what the weather channel said. They start making the confessions of the weather channel. And they start saying those things, and they get those on their mouth. And then till the tornado shows up at their place, now all of a sudden, we don't want that here. Well, I'm sorry, you're the guy that talked it here. See, whether people realize it or not, it's just like the Hurricane Sandy when it was way down off of from Florida, and they were talking about it coming over and hitting in the areas of North Carolina. I started speaking to that storm. See, that storm was supposed to have arrived many days before it did. It stalled and started to turn out. I started speaking to it. I started telling that storm. I said, don't come up the East Coast. Don't come up the East Coast. And all of a sudden, it started coming back. Started coming back over. Started moving up. I went to the Lord and said, Lord, what's going on here? He said, you're not going to stop this one. He said, too many people and even the Christians are calling it up the coast. He said, you can't stop it. Christians were using their faith, their keys, the kingdom, to call that storm in. I'm going to tell you that Christians are going to stand in judgment over lives and deaths and things of people that were lost because of their blab mouths not controlling them. I'm just telling you this. We got to learn to quit calling the bad weather and doing that stuff. When the Lord told me, he said, don't let the devil destroy your property. From that period on, storms come along. I didn't see the name God tattooed on one of them yet. If there's one I'm not supposed to stop, he's supposed to tell me about that. There's no storms that he's trying to send to kill people. Jesus is still trying to save the last time I heard. We have not hit the tribulation yet, folks. And see, this is where people need to begin to stand and believe God. Hallelujah. In Joplin, Missouri there, I listed that testimony of the black lady who, she was there in a tornado the other year. It came through there. I mean, just practically took most all the city, the whole thing. Joplin, Missouri. I mean, it just destroyed. Joplin was just, man, devastated level. That thing came in through and she was in her house. And I listened to her testimony. She just got down on her knees in her house, and that thing was just tearing up through the city. She had no place to go. She said, Lord, she said, it's your obligation to take care of me. I'm your child. She got down on her knees and said, you need to send your angels to take care of this house. That storm came up and took her next door neighbor's houses, the houses across the street on either side of her, and the ones on the other side it took her. And her house was the only house standing out in the place, undamaged. No damage whatsoever. See, one piece of it. Well, God killed the rest of them. No, he didn't. If he was killing them all, he got her too. I'm going to tell you what, you can't fear or pray. She got down on her knees by faith. She didn't get down on her knees by fear. See, many people give their little fear prayer when trouble comes. That ain't going to work. Heaven responds to faith. That's why you want to build yourself before the storm comes. That's why you want to be ready before the storm ever gets it. You want to be, you know what? You need to be, you know, out here speaking to thunderstorms before you ever go talking to any tornadoes or any hurricanes. You want to be, I know you can speak this stuff. I've been doing it since I was a baby Christian. I was out doing it. I would speak to storms. I started doing it. First didn't seem like nothing was happening. But I said, hey man, this stuff's got to work. God said so in the Word. And I'd go out and talk to storms. I'd go out and say stuff to storms. I'd go out and talk to them. I forget, we're down in on the streets witnessing, down the streets in Reading. Down on the streets of Reading, and this real severe thunderstorm, and they were, you know, we were on the streets and didn't know. Started black clouds coming in, and these people come out to us and said, hey, they said, man, terrible storm, it's going to tear things up, boy, get out of here and all that stuff. I said, no, we're out here witnessing the street. I said, the devil ain't running us off. We ain't going out of here. And I'll never forget, because there's a bunch of guys who were from Teen Challenge. They were, you know, Teen Challenge guys, you know, and probably most of them were Christians longer than I was. But we'd get out in the streets, and we'd go out back to the areas, and I'd go down there and witness the gang people. I was an idiot. I didn't know no better. I just thought God'd take care of you. And he would. He'd take care of us. I tell you what, I was treated better by gang members than I was by a lot of Christians. They showed you more respect. But we're standing out there, and the storm's coming, and they're telling us we're supposed to get out of there. And I said to the guys, I said, nah, I said, this ain't right. I said, that's the devil trying to get us off the street. And I said, we ain't leaving the streets. I said, we're out here witnessing. It was good. Things were going good. We were having a really good time. And I stopped and I said, spoke to the storm. I told the storm, you ain't coming here. You ain't coming across this city. That ain't happening. And I said, we ain't running off nowhere. I said, we're just going to keep ministering. We're going to keep doing stuff. And that storm split. Now, I heard from people later on that on the radar, that storm split. And half of it went across and went outside the city limits, north, and the other side down off the south, outside the city limits and ran. See, those people down there, they didn't talk to us, so they got it. They got it. We didn't. Not a drop of rain, never a thing. Got cloudy there at first, but after a while, the sun was shining there, and there's north and south, they were getting trouble. But see, it's learning to speak stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, once I had that one happen, I figured we're going after it after that. Hallelujah. And I'd speak to them, you know, just like it being, you know, I told you people about being on vacation, talking to storms. You know, that's all part of training. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to train you to do. Not so the devil can come and run over your life. He wants to train you so when the devil comes riding in his truck, you knock him out. You don't say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Maybe we could call, let's call Kenneth Copeland Ministries and ask them to fast and pray. Man, let's ask them to do something. See, God wants to train you to stand up and say, hey, hold it. Devil, you ain't coming here taking my stuff, destroying my stuff, eating up my life, eating up my family's life, eating up my neighbor's life. You ain't coming here and doing that. And see, we need to get back over. Years ago, we were more into that. But as people got over into this other Christianity today, whatever they got, left a lot of that stuff. You know, we had a lot of crazy people. They'd talk to anything. You know, you'd go to church, they'd walk around and talk to the chairs before they, you know, got out. They'd run around anoint chairs with oil. Remember those days? They'd go down and anoint each chair with oil in the name of Jesus. People would come in believing God. For people would come in, they sat down in those chairs. You know, God was going to meet them. God was going to, not today, you know, they just, oh, God bless them. You know? People wild and confused. They, you know, they believed God would do anything. Today we don't have that. All these people, we got all this educated Christianity. All these know-it-alls that don't know how to do a thing. Sort of like our school systems. All these know-it-alls can't do a thing for themselves. You got to keep, you know, they're 20 years old, graduating from college, and we're still wiping their butts.
That's right.
It's like, dear God. You know? Oh, my. Well, see, we need to get over and back to these things, you know. We need to get back over where Randy Greer said we need to get back over where we have the confession police again. Telling Christians when they're talking a bunch of junk to shut up. Quit saying that. Because people are not guarding themselves. They're not guarding themselves. They're saying things, speaking stuff of fear. See, many Christians are trying to, I want to get away from fear. I don't want to be in fear anymore. But if you don't shut your mouth, you can't ever get away from it. Because your mouth's spouting out things that are harmful and hurtful. You're going to have fear. You're just saying, devil, come on, get on me. Oh, God, take him away. See, God can't take away a devil you invited. Do you know that? See, we can't invite him in and get rid of him. That ain't working. So let's walk in the light of the Word. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.